And he joins us on the Revel Wireless Hotline. He's a regular on this show, the quarterback, Bernie Kosar. Bern, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing good. Not as good as Joe Flacco, but we're doing good.
All right. Well, since you brought him up, let's talk a little Joe Flacco, because that is the preeminent story of the National Football League this week for sure. He becomes the highest paid player in NFL history, a deal reportedly worth over 6 years, $126.6 million, and that's reportedly including a $29 million signing bonus. Wow.
Well, you know what I find interesting, and you know it, and a lot of the fans know it, with the new salary cap and these new contracts that typically these longer-term 5-6 year contracts really are meant for 2-4 years. And, you know, some of the stuff that we're hearing and it appears that really it's like a 3-year deal. So, yeah, some of it's backloaded, but as you mentioned, $29 million over 6 years, so that's a little less than $5 million a year against the salary cap, and with $62 million guaranteed over the first, or looking like he's going to get over the first 3 years, that's about $11 million a year. So the salary cap hit is probably between $15 and $16 million each over the next 3 years. And the reason why, you know, I think as Browns fans, we should pay attention to that. Baltimore is incredibly challenged against the salary cap, even before Joe Flacco signed. So add another $15 or $16 million to that salary cap, even with Ray Lewis leaving. Guys like Antoine Bolden, Jacoby Jones, Bryant McKinney, Paul Kruger, I think it's going to be real challenging, if not impossible, on Mr. Bisciotti and Ozzie and John Harbaugh to keep multiple players like that, which I just mentioned.
Yeah, and that is going to be the challenge, and it could be the benefit for teams like the Browns seeking help on the defensive side, and you know a name like Paul Kruger out there. So it will be a challenge there, and it will be interesting to see. Their challenge is again the benefit of the Browns and other teams in the AFC North, but you have to ultimately make these tough choices, and I think the alternative to not signing Joe Flacco is having him maybe end up in a Browns uniform or in another team's uniform, which would have been very interesting to see, but they weren't going to let that happen.
Well, one of the things within your own division, whether we sign any of the players or not from Baltimore, they are going to probably lose one or two, and probably two, if not more, of even those four players I just mentioned. And that in itself makes the Baltimore team not as strong and benefits teams like the Browns, Steelers, and Cincinnati within our own division. One of the things we all like to do on top of that, and not to be greedy, but when you can take a top-tier player or a productive player and hopefully a top-tier, productive, experienced player, and take them from one of your division rivals and put them on your team, that's probably the double benefit and the ultimate positive for our team, your team, and the negative for another team within your division.
Bernie, when you played in this league, obviously a whole different time, and the numbers were nowhere near close to what they are now, but relatively speaking, there were stars who played the position of quarterback, and that sounds a little redundant, but it was you, it was Jim Kelly in Buffalo, Dan Marino in Miami, John Elway, Denver, Boomer Esiason in Cincinnati, all at this era, this time in the 80s. And, you know, I'm going to take a wild stab here. You paid attention to what each other made. And when one guy had a deal done, Joe Montana, somebody gets a deal done, there is some ripple effect, domino effect that you or your representatives responded to. But how do you? What's the mindset as you look at it from a quarterback? And I'm not asking you necessarily to put yourself in the shoes of some of the current quarterbacks, but a guy like, you know, Matt Ryan and some of the others who are sitting there, Tony Romo, who are sitting there waiting for new deals. Now, we just saw restructuring done for Tom Brady to, you know, with the idea of creating room to have other players sign. And Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh has a restructure. But give me a mindset from quarterbacks looking at other quarterbacks' deals.
Okay, I have an incredibly opinionated, strong opinion of this subject.
Good, lay it on.
Just like I did when I tried to control myself poorly when the Matt Barkley conversation of how 1,000% times the SAT and his rambling that he constantly did the week of the combines is. Look, I know it's easy to say, and you've known me more years than just about anybody from the beginning when I came into the league. I did not pay attention to the money. And my family and friends did, and they knew it all, and they got most of it, too. And that kept them away from me so I could actually play football. I wanted to be a great, good football player. I wanted to win. I wanted my locker room, my teammates, our fans to respect and know that I deserve to be that quarterback. And when you start worrying about, and I know guys do, I mean, you named a few from this generation and from the older generation that they do. And hey, it worked for some of them, and it didn't work in terms of winning games in December and January for others. And at least for me, and I think to be more consistent and have a better chance of being successful, productive, winning quarterback, those type things, if you get distracted with that, if you become focused on that, if you become jealous of what other guys are making, like your family and friends will try to bait you into doing so that you have more money, so in turn they could take more of it, it really, really, at least to me, inhibits the ability to focus, study, practice, prepare, and play that game on Sunday. And I just, for right or wrong, and again, not really saying for kids out there that I was right to be so obsessively focused on just trying to be a good quarterback on Sunday, but I was, and I didn't let anything come in the way of it. And you know, publicly, on the show and privately, me and you talk at length about that commitment to winning, that commitment to being the best you can, that commitment to not letting the guys next to you down and be the guy who leads it to just winning. And those other distractions, I think, really limit your chances of being the leader winning quarterback. And it for sure did with me. And that winning and playing good was my single-minded obsession.
Yeah, and I have no reason to question that one iota because, as you said, I've known you a long time and I've seen firsthand how you've dealt with this and handled it. But I also know, again, what was important to some of these other quarterbacks, and I happen to be around Jim Kelly a lot during that time, the Hall of Famer, and know, you know, not necessarily from him, but like you said, the people around him, the agents and so forth, people you talk with on a regular basis. We're visiting with Bernie Kosar via the Revel Wireless Hotline here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. More finance talk because free agency hits on March 12th. We're closing in on it, and today was the last day the teams had to put franchise tags on players and different tags on players, and really not that many players being tagged, Bernie, leaving open some names to look at in the open market. And we just discussed what might happen with the Ravens and the possibilities of players who will be available from that team to accommodate the lack of cap room that, or the room they've got to make up for Joe Flacco. And we're going to get into more of those details, by the way, later in the show. Aaron Wilson covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Sun, and he's going to provide more details on that. But in general terms, Bernie, when we look at free agency, my sense is that this team, this Browns team, goes into it thinking defense first and foremost. I know people want to clamor for the wideout, for the exciting guy, and hearing Mike Wallace's name come up. Greg Jennings wasn't tagged, so he may be out there, or will be out there. But I just sort of like look at all this and say, what would the priority be? And to me, it's got to be pretty obvious that you got to look at defense first.
Well, let me even go more generically and more globally than the defense offense specific players. The league had a salary cap of 120 and some million last year for player salaries. This year it's bumped up to about 123 and change for that. But historically, the last 15 years or so, the free agent market is a buyer's beware. And if you typically, you have to overpay for some of the names that you mentioned, and you end up then affecting a similar thing that we were just talking about with the Ravens and their salary cap issues and other players. So you have to kind of play the balancing act of you get somebody and make a risk, and then you have to not get another guy or two or not be able to re-sign a guy or two of your own is one thing. And then, again, I'm not trying to cast stones at the Browns in the past, but so many times since we've come back in 1999, we've won the off-season war of PR and media by making these big signings, and hardly ever has it worked out. And it's hurt us in terms of our performance and our record. It speaks for itself since 1999. So first and foremost, incredibly be careful and make sure you know what you're doing with certain guys. All that being said, linebackers, defense, I completely concur with you. You need to focus on maybe some added players there, because even if you get a guy or two, you're still going to have injuries through the course of a year. You need some depth there. You need playmakers there. You need pass rushers there that could also get back in coverage sporadically and cause duress collapsing the pocket and have the athleticism to be able to play in pass coverage. A lot of the successful teams, yeah, maybe they get a guy, but typically after that initial rush of signing free agents, there tends to be the majority of guys that are still out free agent-wise. We could end up getting incredible discounts on guys that could add depth and role players and production to your team. And just like we talked about on last week's show, I'm typically not a big combine guy. But right. The athleticism and playmaking and of the guys in this draft, yeah, it may not be the most sexy in the first 10 or 15, but boy, the depth of this draft, the speed, size, feet, athleticism of so many guys at every position, it's very evident. So I'm not saying just because you have athleticism, and I go back to Jim Tressel's great line, body like Tarzan, but play like Jane. So you have to really be careful. Yeah. But there's a lot of opportunity and incredibly lower rookie wage scale prices to add depth to your team and add a more core stuff. So I'm not saying you don't do free agency. I just think you need to really be careful, because you don't want to be in a position in 2-3 years like some of the teams we were talking about earlier in the show.
Bernie, one final thing I do want to make sure I cover with you, because this is important. This really is one of the first big moves made by the Browns, again, new administration, and it is this, that they announced today that ticket prices are going to remain flat for the 2013 home schedule. It's the fifth straight year in which the price of a Browns season ticket has not increased. It keeps the Browns the second lowest current current streak in the NFL. So impressive stuff, obviously, to have that take place, and it reinforces the team's feeling about the loyal fan base. You know this fan base as well as anyone on this planet. What's that mean to do that?
Well, on a lighter note, given the price that Mr. Haslam and the family paid for the team, salute to him, the wherewithal to be able to keep it price points the same for the fifth straight year. You know, typically when new ownership comes in and they have to put up numbers like you do to get into the NFL, you typically see a lot of increases in stuff like the tickets, the suites, stuff like that. And to be able to keep it like this and keep it stable shows, you know, his business acumen and success of him and his family, and most importantly, you know, him being cognizant that not just football, mainly most professional sports in general, at this high level has become so pricey for families of 4 and 5 to right. 10 games that, you know, I think it's awesome. I mean, I'm not saying this to be politically right. I'm not saying this to be nice. I think it's awesome because you almost never see 5 straight years of price points remaining the same. And I think it's a fantastic thing that Mr. Haslam's shown and the front office. And I think it's great for the fans to be able to to not have to pay more to come see the team.
Yeah, and it's nice. The average cost of a Browns ticket is the second least expensive in the NFL. He is Bernie Kosar, joining us via the Revel Wireless Hotline right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more is coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.